presence came and changed me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The powerful part of that is I can't go back. You see, some people go back, but I can't. It's not possible. A caterpillar, a butterfly can never be a caterpillar again. I've been changed. Amen. How many can say that tonight? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again this evening. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Merritt, you'll see that your prayer just in line with the direction we're going tonight. And it happens. It happens quite often. The song leaders will randomly call someone up to pray. I say randomly because when we were in the Baptist church, it said on the handout who was going to pray. And you better believe that person knew. And they had their little prayer prepared. But these brothers don't know. And they're not even, you know, some churches will, this is just an observation. Some churches will say, I'm going to call on Brother Juan, and then we'll to pray for the needs or whatever, and then we'll continue to finish the song. Then Brother Juan will come up so he's not just caught, completely off guard. And that's just fine. But here, it seems like more often than not, you just get caught off guard. But then to hear the Spirit pray through whoever's called to pray, and the same thing happens back in the room before the service when the musicians get together to hear the prayer come forth by the same Spirit for the same direction. It's a confirmation for the just another confirmation for the minister, but it should be a confirmation for the entire body. Amen. And by one Spirit, we are baptized into one body and led by one Spirit. So thank the Lord for that. Amen. God bless you. We're going to read from a familiar scripture here tonight from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, and then Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, can we just go ahead and read this the way, read it by revelation? And unto Brother Branham, write. Unto William Branham, is he not the angel of the church of the Laodiceans? Right? So it's no longer a mystery. So this is what John was told to write, and it's addressed to William Branham by Christ, and it's in the Bible. And now we want to mix our opinion in here? It's in the Word. These things saith the Amen. We know who that is. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would or I wish that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and have need of nothing. I don't need anything except a new car. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. He's meeting with individuals in this age. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then again from Philippians chapter 4, just one verse of scripture there, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. So he's going to supply all your need by Jesus Christ according to his riches in glory. How many believes that tonight? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We're just going to take a simple thought here tonight. What the church needs. Let's bow our heads. How many would like to be remembered in prayer? Father, as we lift our hands in the air and Lord, we point our faces to the dust that we came from. We're looking to you, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith, the amen of the amen, the beginning of the creation of God. And we ask that your word would minister to our hearts, Lord, each and every one, according to our needs. And Father, we know that there's so many words that could be spoken, but there's word that's spoken in due season, fitly spoken. And so that's what we're looking for tonight, Lord, is for your present tense unfolding of your word, because that's the word that you're going to quicken and make live, and it won't return into you void, but that's the word that we should be looking to be lived out in our lives this week as we face the rest of the week. Lord, your word goes before us. We believe that. You supply all of our needs. You prepare us, Lord. You've prepared a banqueting table, and you've called us all to come together to this feast. And so, Lord, we lay aside everything this evening, and we thank you for this time. We want to redeem it, Lord. We want to make good use of this time. We ask that you strengthen each one, bless each one. Help us, Lord, to set aside any thoughts and cares of anything else and just focus on you tonight, Lord. And may your word minister to our hearts, each and every one. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So if we were to take a poll today and ask people just in general, churchgoers, that is, church members, what do you think the church needs? Well, I think you'd get more responses than you ever would imagine. And, you know, some would say, well, we need a new parking lot, or we need a new thermostat, or we need new chairs, or this or that. And those things might be helpful and maybe even needful at times, but that's really not what the church needs. Because that's the church building that we're describing. The church is the body, the blood-bought body. So everyone thinks they know what is needed, perhaps. And so often what people think is needed is not in sync with what God would say that the church needs. And we read in this particular age of all ages that it couldn't be more dramatically apparent to us, because this age says, I have need of nothing. I have this, I have that, I have the other. And God said, oh, no. Everything you just said is wrong. you are spiritually bereft, and so here's what you need, right? So we read in Revelation chapter 3 that the church of Laodicea claims to have need of nothing. Notice here what the Spirit hath saith to the churches, plural. So there's the church mystical, and then there's the church nominal. So if you don't need anything, then you're going to be satisfied, right? You're not going to be on fire because you don't need anything. You're not going to be cold because you're comfortable, right? So you're just kind of there, and you're just kind of pulling pages off the calendar, and one day turns into the next, and you're not in expectation because you have need of nothing, right? So the church in this last age thinks that it knows what God requires, and thinks that they are meeting his requirements, and thinks that they are living up to the standard that he's called them to uphold in their day, but they don't even recognize the word that's been given, which is the standard. And this is the only age, apparently, that is so self-satisfied and so self-confident. And we know that the Lord has promised to supply all of our needs. Is that right? We believe that. But we also know that he told us that he knows what we have need of, but he wants us to cry out for it just as a baby does for the things that it has need of. Now, mom and dad, you know, especially mom, she's usually she's the one that was ordained and equipped for it, certainly. She knows what the baby has need of, but she, a lot of times the baby will have to cry out for it nevertheless. And mom will say, oh, you know, are you hungry, or do you need your diaper changed? And there'll be some investigation going on, or are you sick, or what have you. But so the mother knows, but yet the baby still has to cry out. Is that right? So we seek the kingdom of God first, and its righteousness, and we are assured that all of these other things that people spend their entire lives worrying about will automatically be added to us, that we don't have to worry about it, that God will provide. Amen? So none of us are going to be able to use the excuse, not that I believe that any of you would try that, but none of us would be able to use the excuse when we get to the other side that, Lord, you know, I didn't seek your spirit. I didn't seek a closer walk with you. I didn't seek your leadership in my life. I didn't seek your specific will in my life. I didn't seek the fulfillment of the promises that you've made, or even to understand what those promises were, because I didn't have time. And that is what so many people are going to say. You know, I had to seek all these other things first, right? Just to survive. You know, I got to work, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And that left me with no time. But that's not what God has to say about it. And that's not what he will say about it on that day. He'll say, didn't I tell you I would provide for all these other things? So if we're going to seek anything, it shouldn't be the world and this riches, but it ought to be the spiritual things. So how many believes that he knows exactly what we have need of? And how many also know that we are taught to ask? We are taught to seek. We are taught to knock. And we are promised that if we ask, we'll receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. It's a great paradox that God knows what we have need of, but yet he wants us to ask anyhow. And how many would say, you know, I know what's best for me? I didn't hear too many. Okay. Versus, Lord, show me your ways that I may walk with you. So we are interested in, you know, most of us, one time or another, or perhaps always throughout our life, we'll work for an employer, and we're interested in what the employer says about our conduct, because we want to please our employer. And actually, if you're a Christian, doubly so, because we're supposed to serve our master as unto the Lord. So we constantly look for feedback, we look for direction, so that we could be sure that we are doing what we were hired to do, that we are satisfying what our employer is looking for. Now, you don't get to go and make your own job description. You're hired to do a specific job. Now, if you're not happy with that, then go start your own business. But otherwise, if you're working for somebody else, they have certain things that they're looking for you to do and fulfill. And so if you're wise, you will constantly be looking for feedback so that, you know, if you want to raise, if you want to move up with a company, if you want to be given more responsibility, you want to make sure that you're doing what it is that they want you to do. So how much more should we be interested in what our Heavenly Father has to say about our conduct? We should daily be asking, Father, am I doing okay? Did I use my time wisely? Did I accomplish today what you put before me? So the words spoken to the church of the last days are very sobering. And it ought to cause everybody to examine their lives and to examine their walk before the Lord, because we see that the majority has an entirely opposite evaluation of themselves as God does. And I can't think of anything more tragic, I mean, than to be self-deluded. So knowing that this is foretold, what it ought to do is cause every man to check up with the master on a daily basis and to hear what he has to say firsthand. So with that in mind, this will be an unusual service here tonight. I'll just warn you that ahead of time, but I felt led to go this direction. With that in mind, let's just listen to a few of the statements in our message that tells us what the Spirit is saying to the churches about what the church needs. Amen. Amen. There are hundreds, there are literally hundreds of statements, and I've looked at many, many of them, but there are hundreds of statements that we can draw from the beginning of the message clear up to the end, but I just want to sample a few here tonight, and that's all we're going to do here tonight is read what our messenger had to say about what the church needs, what the individual in Christ needs. So from the message, the token, we'll just start off with this one here. He says, and I tell you, today we got so many grafted vines into it with denominations and creeds and things, and yet any citrus fruit grafted in can live in that vine, but it's bearing the wrong fruit. So he's talking about how we've got so many different churches and they're all living off that very life. There's only one life, and that life is Christ, but look at the fruit that they're bearing. He says, what we need today, this is in 1964, what we need today is another baptism of the Holy Spirit and have the real power of God that identifies the works that Jesus Christ promised for this day, not so much as that day, this day. The promise that he made here, that was what he promised there. He would pour out his Spirit. Now he has promised it again in the last days. And what he would do. So if he's promised it, then shouldn't we be looking for it? Amen. Sure. The message, turn on the light. He says, in this hour, brother, we when we wonder what's the matter with our revival, what's the matter? We got the material and everything. We got mechanics. But where is the dynamics? That's what we need to move Jesus Christ in on the scene. What's the matter? I tell you, there is one here today, hallelujah, called the Holy Ghost, that can touch the dynamics. He is the dynamics of the mechanics. He's the fuel that goes into the car. He says, we stand today, us Pentecostals, and of course he's speaking to the Pentecostals because they were the last, that was the last move of God in our day, and God is obligated to take those that had the light and try to take them further. Of course, we know the Pentecostals stopped, not the true Pentecostals, but the organization. He says, we stand today as us Pentecostals, one of the greatest churches in the nation, thousands times thousands added each year. But where is that Holy Ghost? We've accepted by speaking in tongues and we've seen how it's acted. Methodists accept it by shouting. Luther accepted it by faith and so forth like that. That isn't it. It's the Word. It's the Word turned on. It's the light that turns on the mechanics and they become dynamics. They are dynamics. When the dynamic comes to the mechanic, it starts things rolling. That's right. Take the Word. If there's one little thing missed up on it, it won't start. Lay aside every weight, every ism, every creed, that the dynamics, the Holy Spirit, might flow through the Word and vindicate the Word that's promised for this day. Then the great church of God will rise to her feet like a jet-propelled plane and take off to the skies to meet her master. That's exactly right. But there has to be dynamics to cause that. We can't just have quotes. There has to be a life. Until we do that, it won't work. That's what it's about. Yes, sir. Who will do it? He says. Who will keep it in this day that we're thinking about? Remember, brother. So he's speaking about the dynamics. He's speaking about the Holy Ghost in the church and how essential it is to have the Holy Ghost in the church. Again, he says, that little fella had got my bucket of molasses. So he's telling us the story about the bear that had gotten into his tent, and it was a little cub, and it got into his molasses. He said he was a Baptist, and he baptized his pancakes with molasses. And he says, and he had them all hugged up in his arm like this, and he had the lid off of it, and just a sock. He just socked his little paw down in like that, and molasses was all over his face, and his little belly was just full of molasses. His eyes, you know, he couldn't even open them. He was batting his eyes back and forth, looking at me like that, licking like that, and sock his little paw down and then just lick the molasses. And I said, have a good time, fella. It just reminded me of a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting. When we opened up the jar of honey, you know, and we stick our fingers right down in and just get it all over your eyebrows and all, you know, and just get a real old time where you just forget where you're at. Hallelujah. But the funny thing was, when he got enough molasses, he had them all over him. So there were others that were there that didn't have their hand in the molasses, but they were all over him. Old mother kept cooing to him, trying to get him to come. And he set the bucket down and run off. When I got over there, the mother and the other cub started licking him. Listen to this. Amen. That's what we need, is an old-fashioned meeting where you can almost lick it. Isn't it right? Yes, just a real old-fashioned meeting. Now, friends, this is all the way through the message from 1948 to 1965. It wasn't something that changed after the book came open, but it's the very life that was to be restored back to the church. Again, in the message, Elijah, he says, brother, what we need tonight over the whole nation is an old-fashioned, God-sent revival and repentance for every church and every individual to come back to God, to the true and living God, not to psychology, not to the theology of the church, but what we need to come back to is the true and living God, who changes a man's heart, changes his nature, changes his makeup, and makes him a new creature in Christ Jesus, who kills all the nature of the world and makes a person a new creature. Oh, Christian friends, that's what the world needs tonight. We don't need a program. We need the regular program that Christ said at Calvary. When he was on earth, he said, except a man be born again, he will in no wise enter into the kingdom. That's what we need tonight. And that was Brother Merritt's prayer. We need the Holy Spirit. We need an outpouring. Again, he says, now, I begin to notice in the last few weeks over there at home, some of the big dignitaries or the great men of the big churches, they're coming and they're hungering and thirsting. This was in 1953. They're hungering and thirsting. And the reason why is because they're seeing this outpouring that's taking place, but it's not taking place in their church. Great men, some of the greatest men in the nation, even the Archbishop of India, come into my house and had to, in America, here seeking, listen to this, and begging for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right. Begging for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're sick and tired of theology and human psychology. They want to feel the touch of the living God who changes men's life and makes them new creatures in Christ Jesus. And that's what we need tonight, amen, Christians. That's what the world needs tonight. That's what America needs tonight. Now, part of why I'm going down this path is if you've been in a church where you're told we don't need that, or it's optional, or it's something that we just put up with, and some people are just more emotional than others, and we don't all need it, I want you to see that, no, this is the normal way. This is God's idea of a true church. We got programs going around, revivals everywhere, asking people if you'll accept Christ as a personal Savior. They stand up and they say, yes, I do. And 2 or 3 days after that, the devil's got them right out there again. What they need today is an old-fashioned, God-sent St. Paul's revival. And the Holy Spirit would get men down at the altar like their mother and daddy used to do and cry out on the altar until God gives them the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This never changed. That's the truth. My Christian friends, wake up tonight. You people in here, it'll never get any better. I doubt it, because the Bible predicts it to be, and so we're just there. This has become not a national affair. Now it's an individual affair. So if there's something in your heart that's crying out for more, there's more to be had. But you need to get out of your seat and do something about it. You need to come to church with an expectation. You need to say, you know what, I'm coming tonight, Lord, I believe you have something for me. And I'm just going to step out and be an expectation. And I don't care what anybody thinks. Oh, I may have a position in the church and they may think this and that and the other. I don't care. It's just me and you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And I'm not afraid or ashamed to say it. I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Again, in the message, resurrection, he says, it's a failing of the church when theology and such and education has took the place of an old-fashioned mourner's bench. We used to have a mourner's bench, he said. You took that down into the basement. We don't use it no more. That's the truth. All the fire that we ever had on the altar, we put it in the stove. What we need today, you say, well, Brother Branham, I'm afraid you'll get a little fanaticism, a little wildfire. Well, let's hear what the church age messenger had to say about a little wildfire. I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. Sure, I would. I can put up with a little fanaticism before I could put with something that's so icy and stiff and starch and ungodly. That's God's attitude. He said, I hate that. How can God move into a place like that? Go into a place and the spiritual thermometer registering 100 below zero? Somebody say amen, and everybody stretch their neck, look around to see who said it. Preacher says, you interrupted me. My pastor told me that. I thought he was kidding. My pastor stopped in the middle of preaching on a Sunday morning and looked right at me. I knew I was the amen corner. And he said, you know what? I'd a whole lot rather you come and shake my hand after service and tell me good preaching, pastor, than to interrupt me. It's distracting. And I thought, you know, in other words, it's ruining the service. Well, any service that's a quote. Any service that can be ruined with somebody saying amen ought to be ruined. I'm not going to go pump your hand. I'm amen in the word. Now, if you just accidentally quoted the word, I'm amen in the word. Maybe that surprised you, but I don't care if it's a dog preaching the word. If it's the word, it's the word. Brother Brown said he had a dog by the name of Fritz. He said it was a hunting dog. He said that dog would tree anything. He said he would even tree a skunk. He said the smelliest thing that I know is the devil. He said all I'd have to do is say Fritz, sick him. And Fritz would go and chase that skunk down or tree that skunk, whatever, right? He said when you say amen to the word, amen. Right? That's like saying sick him to that skunk or that dog. That dog Fritz, right? When you say amen, friends, that's just a fact. It's just the truth. When you amen the word in the service, you're actually contributing to the service. You're actually helping to create an atmosphere. You're actually sending that word out and the spirit out to accomplish the thing that it was sent to do. Our part is to say, let it be here on the earth as it is in heaven. Amen means so be it. He says, a little old woman one time lived up in Kentucky, and her boy came out there to Indiana and joined a nice big church. It wasn't a church that I belonged. It was a Methodist church, and I was a Baptist. And he went down to a Methodist church, and it was a great starchy church. She come out of a little old fired up Methodist church. And she went down that morning where her son and them was going to church at, and she walked in. And the man at the door didn't even want to let her in. Can you imagine that? She had on a little old calico dress or gingham or whatever you call it up around her neck like this. And little old laced up shoes and long sleeves like that. And she come walking, tripping like a little mammy, you know, ought to, walking in the church. And the doorman looked back at her like as to say, what are you? And it had embarrassed her boy.
Haha, brother, if you got a mammy like that, you ought to thank God for somebody. What we need today is some more old-fashioned mothers like that. She was old-fashioned looking. She wasn't up with the modern styles. She didn't have the modern hairdo or whatever. She didn't care. She came to meet with him. And they were embarrassed just by her son was embarrassed. He goes on to say, she was so happy to get to church. Friends, that's how we ought to be. Amen. We ought to get to the place where we can't wait for those church doors to open. Amen. We ought to be so happy to get here. It's nice to meet one another, but that's not why we come here. Amen. We're so happy because we're going to meet with the King. Amen. We just need to get out of order long enough to let God move. Some of us need to get out of order long enough to let God save us. That's a quote. Well, it's so hard for me to come to church and then I don't get a whole lot out of it. Well, you don't expect to. Right? Come with the right attitude. You won't be able to wait for the doors to come open. She was so happy to get to church, and she got sitting in the church, and the preacher said something or another about the blood of Jesus Christ, and she said, amen. See, there's a quote for you, Sister Baker. It's okay for you to say amen. When I take her out on the field with me, I just let people know ahead of time that, you know what, I know I'll get at least one amen because my wife's here. Oh, well, she shouldn't be amen. And well, somebody's got to do it. She said amen. And everybody stretched their neck like a crane. You've seen it before, haven't you? You know, triple jointed in the neck. You know, the neck can actually flip around. And 180 degree, 360 degree vision. Don't miss a thing. In the natural, what's going on in the church, miss everything spiritual. Right. A crane to look around to see who it was. And the preacher lost his text. Oh my, it's horrible. And he said, He didn't know what had happened. And she just sat there. She didn't know that she was out of place. She thought she was helping. She's sitting there. Look, listen, brother. She might not have had her name in the who's who as this great book of who's who that they've got. She had her name on the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'd rather have my name there than all the who's who of all of this world. That's who, to my opinion, who's who is. God's who's who, and I'm glad that my name's in it. She was sitting there with her arms folded, just bright as she could be. And the preacher said something else after a while that she thought was, and she said, amen. And everybody, and you know what? The usher come and put her out of the church. Can you imagine that? Came, tapped her on the shoulder, come with me. Escorted her out of the church for saying amen. She was interrupting the pastor. Church order, you know. He couldn't preach a sermon because amen distracted him. That's what you've organized God so much out of the picture that you can't be pulled off your notes. Wow. Talk about falling from grace, he says. Oh my, that just goes to show the difference, yeah. Then there's a blank spot on the tape. He says, what we need, I'm sure, is a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost-sent revival. Men back to believing the word of God, that God will take care of us like he did in those old days, that he will take care of us today. Do you believe that? God will take care of us. That's what we need. What we need today is another refilling. Another, like the disciples. So he's preaching here and he shows how the disciples experienced a filling, but then he shows how they experienced a refilling. He says, that's what we need. 3 days, some of you trying to test an experience, or trust it, that they had 10 years ago. That's okay. But what about 9 years ago? What about 8 years ago? What about yesterday? What about today? You need one today. He says, that's all right, but what about today? You need one today. Today is the day. Sure, a filling. The disciples, about 3 or 4 days after they received the Holy Ghost, they went back and got in one accord and began to pray again with one accord until the Holy Ghost shook the building where they were setting, amen, what we need. Oh, but you can't hold on to that and hold on to this message too. That is the message, dummy. It's Christ in the church. Again, the prophet Elisha. Now, what we need to do tonight is to dig enough ditch. He's preaching the message about digging out the ditches.
Right.
What we need to do tonight is to dig enough ditch till we can get enough water to get enough spirit about us to rise up and trust God and take the rock of a good old-fashioned testimony and stop up some of these old formal wells around here that are saying the days of miracles is past. Go rejoicing and praising God. It's what we need tonight. Don't you believe that, he says. I do. How about this? The approach to God. He says, so he took the burnt sacrifice and made an offering for his children. This is talking about Job. He's sacrificed for each and every one of his children. Maybe, listen, see, maybe they had sinned. Maybe they had never sinned around Job. Maybe he didn't know nothing about it, but knowing that they were out there in the world alone, so he's preparing a sacrifice for them. I tell you, what we need today is more good old-fashioned praying mothers and daddies for their children. If we had that, it would be the greatest support to do away with juvenile delinquency that I know of. First, give me old-fashioned mothers and daddies who pray for their children. So what we need is praying people. What we need is faith. What we need is the Word. What we need is an old-fashioned meeting. What we need is the power of God in the church. Again, he says, what we need today is an old-fashioned breaking up. We can get so settled in and so formal and so... You can be shouting and be formal when it becomes a routine. What we need today is an old-fashioned breaking up, cleaning out the ice box and the beer and all the fandangle things and throw the cards off the table. Friends, here's the thing. People are trying to imagine in their mind, well, if I throw that out of the pantry, that's the only joy that I get is that little nip from that bottle. If I throw this out or that out, how am I going to get by? The thing is, you come in contact with this, with the living God, and you won't need that. So we're not criticizing the fact that you're indulging in that, but what we're criticizing is that you're failing to recognize that this is what you're really hungering and thirsting for, and you get this and you won't need that. Cleaning out the icebox and beer and all fandangle things and throw the cards off the table, an old-fashioned prayer meeting and back in the arms of the living God, that's what we need today. America needs. It's the only remedy. God's never give another remedy in the education. All these other things will never be recognized until you come through the blood and it takes the blood to do it. Amen. Again, why can't why some people can't keep the victory? There's a message just in the title there, right? He says, now, that's the way it is today. You can't take this brand new heaven-born Pentecostal wine and mix it up with them old-time creed of some sort, some old set-in-the-way, dyed-in-the-wool. Why, if you do, you go to preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, divine healing, and signs and wonders, and that old skin will try to stretch and it'll blow. Talking about putting new wine in old wineskins. The days of miracles is past. I can't stand it no more. I can't stand through this sermon. Blowy, out the door it goes. That's right. You can't do it. But to put new Pentecostal wine, you have to have new bottles. Right. And the new bottle is new skin. And it's got an animal oil in it. And that new skin will stretch. And when you begin to preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, divine healing, signs and wonders, a new skin, when the Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, the new skin will say, amen. Amen? That's right. It'll stretch out. The old skin will say, well, Dr. Jones, don't teach it like that. See, there you are. That's the difference. What we need today is a brand new set of Pentecostal hides. Yeah, right. That's right. To preach a Pentecostal message.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's a little quiet here tonight, but I hope before we're done, you can say amen to it.
Right.
He says, now Pentecost is not at your denomination now. So he's saying, what I'm talking about is Pentecost, and you Pentecostals don't even have Pentecost. Not anymore. So he's telling us he's not preaching about a denomination. Pentecost is an experience. It's not a denomination. Pentecost is what you receive. That's right. And it's for Methodists, the Baptists, the Lutheran, the Catholic, just as much Pentecost, and sometimes a whole lot more than those who call themselves Pentecost. That's right. It's an experience when you can take it. Oh, and when that new life begins to work, and you read in the Bible that said, I'm the Lord that heals all thy diseases, then the new skin, as that life begins to enter in, stretches it out and says, amen. I believe it, Lord. You can't help it. It's that life in you that's saying amen. It's the Holy Spirit in you agreeing with his own word. That's the amen of the amen. Hallelujah. But now, what if you're all indoctrinated with all of this here embalming fluid that's been pumped into you? Then the first thing you know, why, you know, I always feel sorry for a dead man. I go around to some of them morgues and I look at that and I think the man's dead when you take him in there, and then they shoot a lot of fluid into him to be sure that he stays dead. They take his blood out and then they embalm him. They put formaldehyde in there, and the root word of formaldehyde is formal. They want to keep him dead. And that's about the way it is with some of these churches today. Friends, this is the messenger to this age. If he's saying these things, there's no gray area. So, oh, we're going to extreme. Well, he's pointing out the extreme. And the extreme is a dead church. God hates it. And we do too. It won't change you. In fact, it'll make you more miserable. Because you'll hope. And you'll want to be able to live right, and you won't be able to. And then you'll think something's wrong with you. No, something's wrong with the church.
Yeah.
I always feel sorry for a dead guy. I go around to some of them morgues and look at that, and I think the man's dead when you take him in there and they shoot a lot of fluid into him to be sure he stays dead. And that's about the way it is with some of these churches today over around America. They're dead to begin with. And when you go in there, they'll pump you full of some of their old intellectual embalming fluid to be sure that you stay that way. Well, that was before. This is how it is now. That's embalming fluid.
Sure.
Trying to take the life right. Don't say amen. That's embalming fluid. What we need today is a resurrection of the old-fashioned Pentecostal power of the Holy Ghost. That's right. We need to get growing pains where we can stretch out in the Lord. Oh, I just hate to be all cramped up. Yes, sir. To a place where you can't say amen. Oh, you feel it. You come into some churches sometimes and you feel it. You feel you're just so self-conscious. And it's because it's demons. You're so self-conscious that you can't just let go and let God, because you're afraid that whatever you do, you're going to draw attention to yourself. Or somebody's going to give you a dirty look. Well, friends, when the Holy Spirit, the church belongs to the Holy Spirit. And we want to surrender and let God have his way. So we shouldn't care what one another thinks, as long as it's life. He says, I just hate to get all cramped up, yes, sir, to a place where you can't say amen. Brother Brown grunts twice, he says. Oh, that just gets on my nerves to do that. Well, I think we know where the church age messenger stands,
right.
whose name appears
right.
in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22. Again, Jehovah Jireh, just like a hen can lay an egg or a bird, it's coming springtime and all the birds go out and they make their nest, and a mother bird can lay a nest full of eggs and get over them eggs and hover over them, and she turns them with her feet and keeps them warm, and she can set on that nest and hover those eggs until she's so poor and weak that she can't fly off of that nest. But if she hasn't been with the male bird, they'll never hatch. That's speaking of a church. If the church has never been with Christ, they can have all kinds of eggs, but those eggs are not going to hatch. That's right. She's got to be in contact with the male, because the hen can lay the egg or the bird can lay the egg, but if it hasn't been with the male, it's not fertile. And that's the way with some churches. We just get a bunch of members in there and baby them and pat them and so forth and baby them until you take all the spirit out of the church. Friends, I've had people get on me over and over and over because I don't baby like they think, well, if you just did this, you just did that. Well, if I just did this and I just did that, that will take the spirit out of the church. So what would you rather have? For me to baby the baby that's always going to be a baby? Well, I left the church because I don't like how this was dealt with or that was dealt with. Oh, but do you want to talk about it? Is it in the Bible? Is it scriptural? Do you want to discuss it? Oh, no, I'm just going to leave the church. Everybody knows I need to go and baby you. Come on, church.
Right.
Well, you know, he'd come back if you just baby him. Yeah, and we'd lose the spirit in the church.
Right.
Come on, friends.
Right.
This is about him, not you. You want him in the church? You ought to care what he thinks, not what baby thinks. And once you start babying, there's no end to it. You just spoil that little baby. And then that baby will have to be babied forever.
Right.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Or oh my, or something. That's the way with some churches. We just get a bunch of members in there and baby them and pat them and so forth. And baby them until you take all the spirit out of the church. And you haven't got nothing but a nest full of rotten eggs. That's exactly the truth. Who likes rotten eggs? Well, they do over in the Philippines, I guess, but most of us don't. There's only one thing to do. There's only one thing to do, and that's go baby that person. Come on, friends. Do you think God's going to accept that baby excuse on the other side? Well, the reason I didn't serve you and I went back to the denominations is because they wouldn't baby me. Come on, friends. Do you think it's going to be my fault? If you're born again of the Spirit of God, I can't keep you from it anyway. Not that I would want to. There's only one thing to do. It's clean out the nest and start over again. What we need tonight, what is it, Brother Branham? What do we need tonight? Is a good old-fashioned St. Paul's revival and the Bible Holy Ghost back in the church. How could you ever take a people like that that's never been in contact with the male, which is Christ, and teach them divine healing? Why? They've never been in contact with anything. They don't know anything about it. How can you teach them the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What happens to them eggs? Well, they lay right there in the nest and they rot. No matter what you do to them, they'll rot because they're not fertile. And any church that's not fertile, that is from the fertility of the coming of the Holy Spirit into the human heart, no matter how good a church is, how well the members dress, how educated the pastor is, how finer the songs that you've got, what a fine building that you've got. If Christ isn't there, the Spirit of God isn't there, you got nothing but the same infertile bunch of eggs. Well, what are you trying to say? Seems pretty plain to me. That's exactly. And you'll never get anywhere with them. So this isn't optional. You'll never get anywhere with them. You'll never get anywhere with them. So for me to help you is to keep the Holy Spirit in the church. Because that's what's going to help you. But if we baby you, then the Holy Spirit departs and nobody gets helped. So you just make up your mind here tonight. What kind of church do you want to have? You want to have a church where a pastor's calling everybody up? Well, I didn't really mean this and that. And what is it that you thought I meant by what I said? And then I got to explain why that isn't what, because you imagined it. The devil's working on your imagination. And then I got to baby you because you won't cast down everything that comes that exalts itself above the word of God. You won't have confidence in the pastor that God gave you. You won't have confidence in the Holy Spirit to give you a pastor. Oh, well, that's exalting a man. Why don't you exalt God? Right? And then let God lead you and guide you. What we need tonight is the Holy Spirit back in the church moving in every member, setting it in order. There's your church order. Is the Holy Spirit moving in every member? You want church order? That's church order. Life story. He says, you know, what the church needs today is a breaking up. We need to get down to the potter's house. Our stiff homemade theology sometimes don't work so good. What we need is an old-fashioned breaking up, repentance in our hearts, getting mellow towards God. Is that all now that's ready to stand? He'd given his life story, poured his heart out, and just a few people stood. And he's telling, here's what you need. Again, thirsting for life. He says, what we need tonight is old-fashioned mammies like we used to have in America. We need godly praying fathers and mothers that'll take their children before God instead of some Elvis Presley show or something. Whistle at the girls to make them turn around. They'll think they're cute. Honey, if you only realize that's a hound of hell. Preach it, Brother Branham. No wonder he had so many people upset with him. Not the true believer. True believer, that's music to your ears. You love it when the gloves are taken off, and it's you know it's not mean-spirited, it's just the truth. Call right, right, and wrong, wrong. His political correctness is just vomit. You can't even figure it out. You can't predict it. He says, we're not looking for these things of the world. And when the Spirit of God comes into a person, it changes them. It motivates you. The life that's in you motivates you. And what's the matter with the church today? It's become too worldly. What we need is the Holy Ghost in the human being, in the heart. It'll take the new birth to do that, to change that person, make him or her a new creature. What we need is for churches to quit saying everybody is born again of the Spirit of God and the church isn't moving on. We need somebody to be honest. Say, something's missing here. Not to beat you down, but go a little further. Praise the Lord. We are not looking for these things in the world. When the Spirit of God comes into a person, it changes them, motivates you. The life that's in you motivates you. And that's what's the matter with the church today. It's become too worldly. The life that's in them is motivating them to be worldly. What we need is the Holy Ghost in the human being, in the heart. It'll take a new birth to do that, change that person, making him or her a new creature. In the darkest of Africa, when I see women stand there stark naked as they come into the world, and when the Holy Ghost came on them to hide their nakedness, they folded their arms and walked away till they could find clothes. And when they call us the civilization, and each year we're taking off more clothes, and then claim to have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit won't work on one person one way and on another another way. But let me tell, whether it's America, Finland, France, anywhere it is, When a woman or a man that's born of the kingdom of God, he becomes a new creature and stops the things of the world. They are dead to him, for he is dead and his life is hid in God through Christ, sealed by the Holy Ghost. What we need today is a revival. It's a shaking, an old-fashioned Pentecostal revival. We'd be a lot better off with a tambourine down on the corner beating the tambourines than to live in these big morgues with the Spirit of God grieved away from us. The devil comes to rob and to take away, and that's all that he knows to do. That's sad. You know, great big beautiful church and steeples and stained glass and, you know, just rich have increased with goods, have need of nothing, and no Spirit of God. Again, long years ago, when God was the king, when he come into a meeting and the power of God fell, we shouted. Brother Brown said, this is how it used to be. We shouted. We jumped around. We had no shame. But we begin to watch how the Methodists do it, and how the Baptists do it, and how the Presbyterian do it. We're not Methodist, Baptist, or Presbyterian. We are Pentecostal, born of the Spirit of God. Don't never bind us up to such stuff as that. Don't look at what other people do. Don't compare yourselves to others. But the world is beginning to find where your secret is. What makes that power? What's these fellas doing? They're finding and trying to say that the days of miracles is past. That there's no such thing as divine healing. And all this here shouting and praising the Lord, and all these signs and wonders are not right. That's in our own ranks. And it's because they don't know God. Whew. You ever come in contact with them? They've never been born again. Call it like it is, church age messenger. God's Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that his power is the same. They've come too late to tell me about it. Me too, friends. I've experienced it, and I know what I'm talking about. He's still God, and he's always will be God, and he's just as much God right here in this building tonight as he was on the day of Pentecost. We got the same blessings, the same thing. If he can get people in the same condition, the same thing will operate every time. He hasn't changed. We have. Again, expectation. Simeon, of great reputation. Don't make any difference about reputation. Too much is getting to our churches today, even to our Pentecostal churches. Too much fashions. Too much stuff like we have great reputations, you know, in the society and things. What we need is an old fashioned, oh, he says this several times this way. I love it. What we need is an old fashioned, not newfangled, old fashioned, backwoods, that people are embarrassed of backwoods. Oh, that's hillbilly hick. What we need is an old fashioned backwoods. It also sounds like it's out of order. Right. It is. It's out of man's order. Right. But it's Holy Ghost order. Right. Old-fashioned, backwoods, sky blue, sin-killing religion. Amen. What we need is a gun barrel straight something that'll preach the gospel without compromise. Amen. And let the chips fall wherever they wish to and chop into it. We need men of God stand with power, get the church back into the place where it ought to be. Something's wrong, he says. We realize that. We all know it. We're aware of it. Our churches is falling away, getting weak. He's out amongst the denominations. That's who he's speaking to. What we need is not a new organization to spring up. What we need is not another latter rain. What we need is back to the faith in God's word, in God's Bible, a soul-shaking experience back in the church. That's what we need, a clean-up, a straighten-up all through our churches and our organizations. quit drawing those boundary lines, just this and that. So just let go and let God. You want fellowship amongst the churches? Let go and let God. Again, from the Message of Guide, he says, and we were speaking about this last week, how Brother Branham was in November of 1962, how he was getting ready to go preach at this 50-year jubilee in Louisiana. And so this is just a month prior to the message that we were referring to. He says, Pentecost fell in Louisiana 50 years ago, and if it stands another 200 years, it'll be further away than the Catholic Church is today. Look how far the Catholic Church drifted away from the truth in 2,000 years. He said, if it stands another 200 years, this last movement, that it would be further away than the Catholic Church has drifted in 2,000 years. If it keeps falling the way that it has this past 50 years, because they're just adding to it all the time, constantly. The old-fashioned preacher is gone. You know what the old-fashioned preacher was, right? He didn't ask people, what would you like me to preach today? What would you like me to stay away from? Well, if I preach on this and somebody in your family might be doing it, will you be offended? Because I'll stay away from that otherwise. What time would you like me to close? What time would you like me to open? Run me around, wrap me around your finger. No, the old-fashioned preachers weren't like that. The old-fashioned preachers laid the axe to the root. They let the chips fall where they were. They just surrendered, they let go, and they let God. And that's why you had a move of God. The old-fashioned preachers is gone. The street meetings, you never heard of one. All the things we got is a bunch of Hollywood added to it. Bobbed-haired women wearing shorts, painted up and everything else, and calling themselves Christians. Some little Ricky with a guitar run up and down the place, and women with a dress on so tight, just like a skinned wiener, with the skin on the outside almost, shaking around up on the platform, running up and down the platform, dancing with ear bobs, hanging down. One of these here new lady of the land haircuts. Then call themselves Christianity? What are you trying to say, Brother Branham? Come on, you're amongst friends. What we need is an old-fashioned, God-sent, scalding religion that will scald that worldliness out of the church. So if you're getting upset because worldliness is being identified and you think it's personal, you should praise the Lord. Because that's what we need. That's the only way worldliness will ever leave the church. What we need is God-sent, scalding religion that will scald that worldliness out of the church. We need to come back to the Holy Ghost and fire, back to the thing that burns out the dross, brings the old-fashioned preaching back. Notice he said the old-fashioned preachers are gone, but this will bring the old-fashioned preaching back. Make heaven high and hell hot and gun barrel straight. Don't you love it when it's just straight? We need that kind of preaching. But you do it today and your congregation will vote you out. Sometimes good preachers are led astray by their congregation. That's the reason I have no denomination. I have one headquarters, and that's from heaven. Wherever he sends, there I go. Whatever he says, I say, we don't want no denomination. This church ever talk about denomination, you're lost. You've lost your pastor right then. I wouldn't hang around it. Not 5 minutes. Every church that ever denominated, listen to this. Every church, your opinion doesn't matter. And you can pray all you want for this to not be true. But it's still true. Every church that ever denominated went to seed, and tell me one that didn't, and tell me one that ever rose again. Once they do that, it's over. Well, they'll come out of it. Nope. The Holy Spirit is sent to lead the church, not some group of men. Not some group of men. The Holy Spirit is all wisdom. Men get starchy and indifferent. Men think they know what's better than the Holy Spirit. again, expectation. He says, so what the church needs today is a good old-fashioned teaching of the gospel.
Sure.
Good old-fashioned teaching.
Right.
That's right. To know where, I don't mean just educated teaching. I mean spiritual teaching. Some people speaks about God and knows nothing about him. Nothing of him. See, you must get down and deal with the actual spirit itself, you see, to know what you're speaking of. So people that have actually come in contact with the Holy Spirit. And the church says? Again, he says, what the church needs today is an old-fashioned gospel of fire of the Holy Ghost, fall along the altar and in every heart. It'll make a church sure as the world. How do we make a church, Brother Baker? Let the Holy Ghost move in the church.
Right.
Let it fall on the altar. Let it fall in your heart.
Right.
It'll make a church sure as the world. That's right. Yes, sir. Get the power of God back. Get the Holy Spirit back in people's hearts again, where you can have a living faith in God. When you say divine healing, yes, I accept it. Hallelujah. That's right. Back to the Bible, back to the Holy Spirit. Sure, how wonderful. I think you're kind of starting to get the idea of what we need. Again, he says, what the church needs today is a good old-fashioned St. Paul's revival. And the Bible, Holy Ghost, back again with men and women who live what they profess to be.
Amen.
Only the Holy Ghost can produce that. Again, he says, then today, if God's still calling every man or woman that comes to the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins and becomes a priest or a child or a born child of God in the kingdom of God, listen to this, has a right to the baptism, to the original baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not a mouthful, but a whole soul full of the same power that fell on the day of Pentecost. How many believes that? He says, I'm not excited. I know where I am. Let me tell you something, brother. What the church needs today is not a new mayor of the city or a new Democrat or a new Republican Party. It needs an old-fashioned, God-sent Holy Ghost revival and the Bible Holy Ghost back in the church again. That's what it needs. How marvelous. Yes, sir. Notice the admonition to our age is he's standing outside the door knocking. Brother Branham, when he preached that message, Laodicean church age, he said it's one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. Jesus, outside of Pentecost, trying to get back in with Pentecost. Figure that one out. Outside of Pentecost, trying to get back in with Pentecost. He's outside of the Pentecostal organization, the Pentecostal church, trying to get back in with the very life that they claim to be all about. Now, if you think that's strange, look at the holiness movements. I mean, the Methodists, we're holiness, right? Where's the holiness? The Lutherans, were faith-filled. You know, the just shall live by faith. Where's the faith? The Pentecostals, they had the power of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Where is it at? When they were thirsty, they smote the rock. They drank from in the wilderness from the rock. When they were needy, God supplied the need. When Christ was ready to come to the earth, God made arrangements. Notice this. He's speaking about what we need. He says, when they were thirsty, God supplied. So if you're thirsty tonight, God will supply. You just got to quit having thoughts about being embarrassed or, well, what if I get in the flesh? Well, last time I checked, you are in the flesh. We're trying to get out of the flesh, but until then. Again, Israel and the church. He says, I said, fix them up. And I took them down to the creek. He's talking about this turtle. He's trying to get this turtle to, you know, to move, to react. And everything he's doing, the turtle just kind of goes into his shell. And he says, I said, I'll fix them up. I took them down to the creek. First, I got a stick and I tried to beat them. That's some of these churches. They try to beat you into Christianity. I tried to beat him. That didn't do no good. Just didn't do a bit of good. He just laid there. No life. I just whipped him as hard as I could. And he just laid there. He says, you can't beat it into them. Not a bit. No need of trying. Threaten them and everything. He says, I took them up there and I said, I'll fix them. I stuck them down in the water. Just a few bubbles come up. He just stayed the same way. Well, you can sprinkle them, pour them backwards, forwards, anything you want. They'll go down dry, sinner. They'll come up a wet one. That's all. Still a sinner. So beating somebody doesn't change them. Baptizing them doesn't change them, no matter how you baptize them. He says, you know how I made them move? I went and got me a handful of sticks and built a little fire. And I set the old boy on it. And he moved in, brother. I tell you, that's what the church needs today, is an old-time Holy Ghost fire kindled under her. Glory to God. That's what we need. Fire will move the church and nothing else. So why would we be afraid of the very thing that will move the church? That's right. Yes, sir, he says. And again, and I will restore. He says, that's what's the matter today. We're having these revivals all over the country. It's nothing but protracted meetings. What we need today is not stand up and accept Christ as personal Savior, but get down on your knees until you're filled with the Holy Ghost, until God seals you into His kingdom of God. That's what the church needs today. You know that's the truth. That's the reason, not just shake hands or join a church or pack a paper from one place to the place. Get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it'll stay there forever. Amen. That's right. And the church says, again, he says, how long was I to stay? That manna fell. How long was it to stay? That manna fell until they entered the promised land. So he's speaking about the manna that fell in the wilderness. He said it fell until they entered into the promised land. And the Holy Ghost is here from the day of Pentecost and will stay with us. Oh, so I can't hold on to that and this too? Will stay with us until the day we enter into the promised land. That's the body change. Amen. That's what the church needs today. Yes, sir. Not some membership. We all got million more for 44 and all these different slogans. Bring the people in, shake their hands, put them into the baptistry, baptize them, take them back out, and they walk out and smoke cigarettes and go to shows and dances. Why the hog goes to its wallow and the dog to its vomit. That's right. That's pretty strong. That's not skim milk. But let me tell you something, brother. That's what the church needs today. It's a good old time St. Paul's revival. And the Bible Holy Ghost is what we need. Amen. And the church says, amen. Amen. Again, he says, listen, brother, if you have this, you know what I'm talking about. That's right. The Holy Ghost blowing, they're not starchy. Why? I don't believe in them kind of things. Ooh. Them little old fellas, just as nimble. He's talking about this new crop that comes up, and you've got these old trees that are all burned out, and they can't move, and wind blows through them, and it goes, ooh. But you see this young crop coming up, and the wind blows, and they're just frolicking and moving about. He says, just nimble as they could give to the wind, and it was blowing. They was rejoicing and frolicking, and I said, that looks like a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. That's exactly right. Coming right up around the Methodists and the Baptists and all. And God said, I will restore, saith the Lord. And there come, oh, brother, what the church needs today. Not get away. Every time that a church gets away from the phenomenal, listen to this. Every time that the church gets away from the phenomenal, the supernatural, right, gets away from the faith that was once delivered to the saints, God sets them right back on the shelf and moves out and picks up somebody else and goes right on. That's exactly. Study church history. Find out if ever they had a revival in any age, except they had miracles, signs, divine healing, power of God in every revival. And as soon as that church or a couple of decades or rounds of reformers come along and finally rose up, the church got formal. God set it upon the shelf and raised something else up. That's exactly, and here we are today. What is it? The trees coming up. My, how ridiculous it looks to the people. You see a young crop coming up and they're shouting and praising God. And people come tap them on the shoulders. Well, I'll take that fire out of you. Settle down. Well, you didn't put the fire in. You ain't taking it out. God might take you out, but the fire is going to burn. Listen to this. Oh, what the church needs today is not a new building here on the corner. It's not a new pipe organ in the church or not some new seats. What it needs is a good old time St. Paul's revival and the Bible Holy Ghost back in the church. Repentance preached in the fire and simplicity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, said Jesus. Holy Ghost and fire. When we let the fire go out, we're sinking. Again, he says, reminds me of a story. A fellow had a great big fine farm. He had great big fine barns, just dignified and classic as it could be. But he was too lazy to farm. And there was another farmer that lived close by, and he didn't have very much of a barn, but he really was a farmer. And he put plenty of good food in the barn that year, and two little calves were born, one in the barn, one in the other. When springtime come, they turned the little calves out of the stall. A little calf from over there had been fed real good. My, when the wind began to hit him, oh my, he kicked up his heels and away he went, just as hard as he could go, snorting and jumping and bucking and going on. And the other farmer let his out over there, and he had nothing to eat but weeds, too lazy to farm, too lazy to feed him. Puts me in mind of some of these pastors. Too lazy, too trifle, and just dignified barns is all you got. Put some food in there for the calf, right? The baptism of the Holy Ghost, preached with power, it'll scorch them. That's right, but that's what they need is some good old-fashioned scorching. That's what the church needs. That's what members need. Now, I've said that more than twice. Out of the mouth of two or three. Again, and your pastor, your founder, John Wesley, was a great believer in divine healing too. He even anointed his horse with oil after it broke its leg and got on it and rode away. Rode it away. That's what he did. That's in his own notebook. I have it. Yes, sir. He was going to pray for a woman and the horse fell and broke its leg. He couldn't get the horse up and he seen the horse's leg was broke. So he took a cruse from his pocket, anointed the horse in oil, jumped on the horse and rode away. That's right. Preach that in a Methodist church today and they'll throw you out your door. But that's what's got the wrong with you. You let down the bars. The sheep got out and the goats got in. And that's where your church got. That's exactly where we're standing today, he says. What we need today is not new theology. What we need today is a good old-fashioned St. Paul's revival and the Bible Holy Ghost back among all the churches, which will bring back the power of the living God to the church again. That is true, and that's what the church needs today. It sounds pretty plain to me. Again, a personal experience with God. He says, now, watch faith take hold right quick. The old things are passed away, but Moses now has a new vision. He has a revelation. He has an experience. He had met God. He had talked to God. Before that, he had not met God. He only read and knowed what his mother had told him by hearing what his mother had said or hearing what the pastor had said. But now, Moses has a personal experience. That's what the church needs tonight, is to just stop studying so much theology and get down to the altar and pray until a personal experience burns down into the heart and burns out all the dullness and gives a new vision. Sometimes, friends, please don't take this the wrong way, because, automatically that's what the devil's going to try to do, is get you to take it the wrong way. Sometimes instead of coming up and having the pastor pray for you, and there are certainly, we'll do that, we'll do it every time, and there's a place for that. But sometimes you just need to get down to the altar and talk things over. Yeah. Say, God, I feel like the joy of my salvation is gone, but I'm here. I came, Lord. I feel like I just barely could drag myself to church, but I came. Amen. Fill me, Lord. Amen. Rekindle. Amen. Give me that vision fresh once again. Amen. Let me have what I once had and more. Amen. And then when it happens, You've got a key in your hand because now you know what to do. Go to him. Again, he says, it's told one time, the old gold, before they had a smelter, they used to take gold and beat it, the beater would. The Indians in the early days in Arizona, when it was in its youth, they beat the gold until the beater seen his own reflection in the gold. They beat all the iron pyrite, the dross, the dirt out of it until the beater could see his own reflection like a mirror beating out. Now, that's what the gospel does. Well, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, that's... You don't like the gospel then.
Right.
Friends, if you ever just let go and let God, you will like this.
Yeah.
Because it cleans you out.
Yeah.
It separates you from things that you don't want to hold on to.
Right.
So many people don't like to be... Wow, I didn't know he was going to say that. There we are. So many people don't like to be turned out over and beat out. But there's no other way.
Right.
Well, what the church needs tonight. Can you read that from where you're sitting?
Yeah.
Paragraph 87. Well, what the church.
What the church needs tonight is a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting of the world and the things of the world. That's Pentecost. That's what Pentecost needs tonight. That's what our movement needs tonight. Is a good old-fashioned gold-turned beating into all the world.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
See, there's another witness. God, when he sent Moses down to Egypt to deliver the people, first he took him on the backside of the desert and took all the theology he had in him out. Took 40 years. And then appeared to him. Listen to this.
He knew more about God in 5 minutes than the person in that burning bush. They know in the 40 years of learning that he got.
5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. It's personal.
Amen.
Sorry. What's he saying? Slick-tongued people are going to tell you don't need that. And that's from the pits of hell. I'll just go ahead and say it. Anybody that's telling you don't need that is a slick-tongued preacher or a slick-tongued person. So close. We do need it. Well, it's not dignified. Good. I hate formality. A man ought to first get on that sacred ground with God, where all the theologies, all the doctors of divinity, all the reasonings, all the atheists, nothing else can ever explain that away from him. This is how you could say, there's no way you're going to pull me away. You meet him. Once you've met him, who cares what anybody else thinks? He was there when God come, and he knows what took place. You can't reason it out of him. He was there when it happened, and you'll be there when it happens too. It's going to happen, and it'll be so simple, but you'll know that you know that you know. You can't reason it out of him. He was there when it happened. That's the kind of man we need today in the government, in the church, and anywhere else, in times like this. For leadership, we need a man that's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what the church needs today. Not a theologian, but a spirit-filled, born-again man, full of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, if we had more of that, the church would look a little different than it does in the present time. Things would be different if we just had more men filled with with God's Spirit, not going after traditions of the elders and so forth. Key to the door. What the church needs tonight is not an education. What the church needs tonight is not a denomination. What the church needs tonight is not a creed. What the church needs tonight is the key to the scriptures, the door. which is Christ the door, and he is the word. Faith in the word of the living God unlocks every door. God, give us the key. Give us the key. Okay, we're coming close to closing here in just a moment. So maybe you'd like to read from paragraph 124.
What the church needs today is going back to God, back to his word, back to the power, back to Pentecost, not to Pentecostal organization, but back to the experience of Pentecost.
Right.
The guys are out of the wheel when they talk about Pentecostal organization. Pentecost is an experience. When it comes to Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, or whoever wants it, that's right. God don't deal with a nation, with a people, with a denomination. He deals with an individual, always with the Gentiles, taking a people out of the Gentiles for his name's sake.
So what this is saying is it doesn't matter what the rest of the church does. Make sure you meet God. Because God's not coming for the church. He's coming for individuals. But there's only one way. And that's your personal Pentecost. Again, basis of fellowship. But you know how I made him move? Speaking of that turtle again. I built me a little fire and I set the old boy on it. And he moved then. And what the church needs tonight is not a whipping, not a theology, but a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. And that's going to make the church move. Set the church afire with the gospel. Set the fire of God down on them through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that'll make them move. Praise God forever. That's what it'll take to make the church move. Again, as the eagle stirs his nest. Oh, I was talking to a doctor not long ago. He said, Billy, I was just having this meeting in the high school auditorium at Jeffersonville at my home. And the people got to shouting and praising the Lord down there because some things happened. You know, somebody gets healed. Isn't that shouting material? Some things happened. And the doctor said to me, and I said, what do you think about that, doc? He said, well, Billy, you know what? I think them people are just excited. I said, you're a doctor, and you know you can't be excited unless there's something there to excite you. Come on, friends. I mean, that's just, okay, they're excited, but what excited them? Oh, glory to God. Sure it does. If the Holy Ghost comes in and excites us, we're ready to take flight one of these days to glory. Sure, it's excitable. If that wasn't excitable, I'd change it for something that was excitable. Amen. If there's nothing in this to excite me, I'm going to find something somewhere. I can prove to you by science that anything that doesn't move is dead. That's right. You know, if a baby's born and it don't cry, and it don't squall, if it don't do nothing, the baby's dead. That's what's the matter with the church today. We got too many stillborn babies. You know what the doctor usually does? He'll pick them up by his heels and give them a little posterior protoplasma stimulation. That fixes him up just right. And what the church needs today is a good old time stimulation of the power of the Holy Ghost to come into the church, tear us up, shake us, stir up the nest, and blow out the loose feathers. Pentecost needs a stirring. Amen. Blow out the loose feathers. We're getting too much doubt among us and superstitions. And could it be so? And would it be so? Certainly it's so. God's word said so. Eagle's food proves it so. Amen. Sure it is. Eagle Jehovah comes in, stirs up the nest, and the church is getting stagnated. Yeah. Better come in and stir it up. Amen. Well, you say, Brother Branham, I've already got the Holy Ghost. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. I've already got it. Yeah. But it gets some loose feathers in there. See? He didn't say, oh, okay, you already got it. You don't need this. No, there's some loose feathers. Amen. Thank God. For his spirit. Thank God for his life. Thank God he's identified with his church. Friends, we're not waiting to get to the other side to find out if we were right about this. He's vindicating it. And he wants to prove it to you, to each and every one of us. Again, but listen, brother, a baby that's born with it, don't cry, don't whimper. There's something wrong with that baby. It's born dead. That's right. That's what's the matter too much of the churches today. Too much of the people call themselves Christians and they're born dead. Stillbirth. It's no good. Oh, they might have a fine church. They might you might have some nice fellowship. They might have a lot of members. They might have all of that. But Christ isn't there. And it just boggles my mind how people judge churches over how nice somebody is. Well, so-and-so is nice. So what? You can go down to the bar, somebody's going to be nice. You know, some of the people at the grocery store, they're the nicest people. That's Sister Baker. She's got friends at Walgreens and Safeway. And she comes home telling me all their stories and all about their life story, and they're such nice people. Okay, that's nice. What does that have to do with being filled with the Holy Ghost, though? Not a thing. It's no good. What they need, you know what the doctor does when one don't make a whimper? He picks them up, turns them over, gives them a couple of good raps, and he lets out a squall. Wah! That's what the church needs today, is another good old time Holy Ghost baptism, shaking of the church, till it'll spank all the world out of it and get it back to real, real Pentecostal blessing. A real preacher that'll stand up and take the gospel and beat the gold and like the old beaters used to. They beat the gold, turn it over, beat all the dross out of it. How did he know when it was ready? When he could see his own reflection in it, then he knew that the gold was ready. The dross was out of it. That's what the Holy Spirit does by the word. It beats all the world out of the church until the reflection of Christ Jesus appears into the church in people. When God can see his reflection of his power, like he did on the day of Pentecost, when he sent the Holy Ghost down and the power of God made the people drunk like new wine. When they said, what are these men full of new wine? He said, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heaven above and earth below, signs and pillars of fire and smoke and vapor. And it shall come to pass before the noble day of the Lord, the great and dreadful day of the Lord, tribulation period. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Again, we're just about done here. What we need today is a beating. Well, how was church today? Oh, real good. Well, what did I miss? A good beating. What happened? The pastor beat me. No, the pastor doesn't beat you. The word does, though. What we need today is a beating, the gospel, back in the church to straighten the church up, to pull it out of the kinks that it's in, and come back under the fellowship of the blood again in the Shekinah glory. That's the presence of God. Into a Pentecostal experience like it had back many, many years ago, like we used to have years ago. What we need, like we did in the days of John Wesley, way back in the days of Calvin, Knox, way back all the way to Pentecost. What we need is a relationship again with God, till men are willing to die out to themselves in the secret chamber with God, until new life is produced and they become a new creature. Let a man do that. If he's a little old coward, he will go out and win souls. So he can be a little coward. Let that happen to him. He'll go out and win souls. Oh my. Because why? He's become in divine relationship with God in the secret room to himself with him. And God, he's anointed, and went in there with tears rolling over his cheeks saying, God, give me the Holy Spirit. I don't care if it costs my wife, my children, my girlfriend, whatever I am, just fill me, Lord. till I can stand in your presence and feel the Shekinah glory moving, yes, surging over me, amen, and through me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What the church needs. Hallelujah. Well, I got the Holy Ghost. You can never have too much. There's more. Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight?
Yes.
Blessed be his name. These things have to be preached so that you have the right expectation. You have to know what's available to you. Right? How could you ask for something unless you know you can have it? But whether or not you've been told you could have it or not, you already have a thirst. That thirst was in you before you even heard the word. God placed that thirst in you. But then the word shows you this is actually a scriptural thirst, scriptural desire, right? Just let go and let God know what it is that you want. He'll give it to you. And it'll satisfy. And it'll produce a true Christian. That's why we don't need to hand pamphlets and books out to every new member saying, okay, here's the creed and da-da-da-da-da. And you do this and don't do that and whatever. And that's why it doesn't work in churches that do that. Because it doesn't change you. I was having a conversation with someone here the other day, just kind of along those lines, thinking about that. You know, Michael and Naomi are in Singapore right now. And I remember the first time I went to Singapore and hearing different things about them. That, without a doubt, that is the cleanest airport I've ever been in. It is immaculate, spotless. But throwing chewing gum down on the street is what they call a cannibal offense. And what that means is that they would take a piece of bamboo and they would soak it in water, and then they would fray the ends of the bamboo, and then they'd get somebody, a martial arts expert or somebody, and they'd have you bend over, and they'd hit you with that, and it would rip your skin. And let's say you're going to get 5 lashes. Well, you're going to pass out from the first lash. Well, they don't just keep doing it. They wait until you come back. You know, they want you to feel this, right? Throwing chewing gum on the sidewalk is a cannibal offense. So, duh, nobody does it. Right? So, to look at, you know, you would be forgiven if you thought that they were their morality was higher than us. Because murder is lower, theft is lower, adultery is lower. All these things are lower because you're being kept from doing those things out of fear of punishment and death, right? So it looks like the morals of the heathens are higher than our morals, right? But without Christ, all of those people are going to hell. But you ever get Christ in you,
amen,
and nobody will have to tell you, well, don't commit adultery,
right,
don't steal, don't lie. Christ in you. The law is in you. His word is in you, and your desire is to please him.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Love you. I'm proud to be associated with a church that's in love with Christ and that wants Christ to have the preeminence. We've seen a lot. We're going to see more. We've experienced a lot. We're going to experience more. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And we're taking him at his word. There's a price to be paid. We've paid a price over the years. We've been called all kinds of things. Your pastor has been called Pentecostal, as if it was a dirty word, from before I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I was wanting God to fill me with the Spirit. That's okay. Your prophet said, I'm Pentecostal from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Your prophet, when he went beyond the curtain of time, was told, I want to see Jesus. They said, you can't see him now. Why not? You have to be judged. He says, well, I preached the Holy Ghost the same way Paul did. They said, we're resting on it. So the people over here that don't agree with it obviously aren't the same ones that are over there, because they do agree with it. It's the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Friends, we have never promoted a workup, and I've never been guilty of manufacturing an experience. I don't have to. He's real. Yes. Amen. And where there's life, there's life. Where there's life, there's emotion. We know that you can have emotion and not have life, but you can't have life and not have emotion. It doesn't mean you're going to express it the same way as somebody else. We're all different. But you will know when you come in contact with that life. When you become a new creature, you'll know that you're a new creature. When you've been changed, you'll know you're changed. When your desires are different, you'll know your desires are different. You'll know that He's keeping you when He's keeping you. That's the Holy Ghost back in the church. That's Christ outside of His own church trying to get back in with the life. You're the church tonight. Individuals. Amen. Whatever you do, as Brother Bram said, don't miss that life. If you miss that life, you miss everything. Amen. It's not complicated. It's not hard. He's not trying to keep that life from you. But the life won't come if you're embarrassed. The life won't come if you're ashamed. The life won't come if you're afraid. The life won't come if you're doubtful. You have to believe and surrender and just say, God, just have your way. Amen. So friends, we're just going to keep going this and keep on this and keep on this, because there are different ones amongst us that haven't come into contact with that fully, come in contact with that life as God desires for them to. And so we'll stay with it. But there are others that could use a good refilling. Some that could use some of the feathers blown off out of the nest. We all could use more. We all want more. But the dynamics have to come to the mechanics. And the dynamics is not a new teaching. The dynamics is not a new movement. It's not a new group of people. The dynamics is the life of Christ doing what He said He was going to do, bringing life to our message, to the word for this age, bringing that life in you. That sometimes that means for some of us that we just need to be a little more sincere. For some of us, we need to be in greater expectation. For some of us, we need to pray before we come to church. For some of us, we just need to take God at His word. For some of us, we've got to put aside all thoughts of what about this and what about that. Just let God do the thinking. You won't be sorry. I never have been. You won't either. I'm probably one of the most self-conscious persons I've ever met. As I've told you before, I'd walk through a library and think everybody's thinking thoughts about me or whispering about me or whatever. I mean, that's just, you say, that's crazy. Yeah, I know. That's self-conscious, right? I'm not that way anymore. I'm still sensitive. Of course I am. But I've got a peace and a rest. I'm not imagining things anymore. When you have the reality, the living reality of the living God, you don't need to imagine wonder, fear. All that imagination, wonder, and fear is a result of a lack of experience. But once you come in contact with Him, you know, it's like the first day of school. You're all imagining and worrying and fearful. But then you have the first day of school. You have the experience. And you think, man, I was worried about that. I don't know about you, but that was every year. You know, I've got an older brother, an older sister, and a younger sister. So they'd already went through the grade that I'm going to go into. Oh, Mr. Zick, he's mean. Trouble City. You better be careful. Oh, this class is going to be so hard. And you better, you know, get you all worked up and fearful. But then you go and find out for yourself. And most of the time, it was not anything like they said. Not doubting that it was that way for them, but for you personally, it's different. That's why we don't want you to look for other people's experiences or get stuck on God, you got to do this or you got to do that. No, just let God have his way. He'll move in your life in his own special way. How many believes that? How many will say tonight, you know what, Brother Baker, I'm gonna pray. I'm with you. I'm uniting with you. I know that there's a new crop raising up, and they have every right to what we have. And I'm gonna pray right along with you, and I'm gonna try to think good thoughts and just try to have the right kind of atmosphere for their sake. Whether I'm tired or not, I'm gonna come and support the services because tonight could be their night. We don't know, but we know that their time will come. And so I just want to put my shoulder behind the wheel. I'm going to create that atmosphere in the nest so that life can come forth. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight, Father, as we stand before you. Father, I'm just so thankful that you sent us a messenger that would take the gloves off. And Lord, he's not abusive. He's not a hater as people that they just can't catch the spirit. And that it was sent in or spoken in. But Lord, it's love that rebukes and chastens. You told us that ahead of time. We of all people should be on the watch for that. Because you told us in this age, as many as I love, I chasten and I rebuke. Be zealous therefore and repent. So we know that, and Lord, how are you going to do that? You do that through your ministry gifts. So, Lord, if you sent the angel to the church to speak things that are rebuking, that are chastening, may we be zealous. May we be excited about it, knowing, Lord, that it's you that's trying to take us from what we are to what we should be or what we ought to be or what you want us to be. And, Lord, it's only by the preaching of the word. Nothing else can change us. Lord, we appreciate music concerts, fellowship meetings, get-togethers. Or when I say fellowship, I just mean fellowship. We appreciate all those things, but we know that music won't change us. We can try and justify it and say, well, it creates an atmosphere. Well, so does a rock concert. So does a West Country and Western concert or whatever. Nothing wrong with those things, but those things by themselves, that's not how you work. That's not your plan. That's not how you operate. It's your word, and that's what we're standing for tonight, Lord. If that offends somebody, so be it. Let them be offended. But, Lord, I want to stand with you, recognizing that, and I'm not going to call you a liar, only your word can change us. Feelings, emotions, music, fellowship, those things won't change us. What will change us is your word. We recognize that those things, of course, have their place and can be beneficial, creating the atmosphere and what have you. But the power is not in those things. We know that Lucifer was a choir director in heaven, and that choir director caused a third of the angels to fall. So we know that the power is not in the music. We're not against that. Not speaking against that. We're certainly not against fellowship. Having friends, or they're nice, or this one's nice. But Lord, it's your word. And you are your word. It's your word that changes us. And so we want to give the preeminence first and foremost to your word. And then we want to be in expectation for you to quicken your word, to make it live. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, as we meditate on these few thoughts here tonight, what the church needs. We know that there's so much more that could be said, perhaps will be said at other times, but Lord, may we meditate on these things. May we search our hearts, allow you to search our hearts. And say, Lord, see if there be anything there that's any shadow, any area in my life that has need that only you can provide. And may I cry out for it, Lord. May I ask you to do in my life what it is that is needful. Lord, you're the only one that knows what we need. And you have provided everything that we have need of, but we've got to be open to it. We've got to ask. We've got to seek, knock, believe, trust, agree. We've got to agree with your word. Let it be on the earth as it is in heaven. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Won't you move upon each and every heart? Father, I pray that that you would drive out every spirit of fear that's in the building tonight, Lord. There's always, whenever it comes to a true move of God, there's scarecrows and there's fear and there's terms like fanatic and Pentecost, as if that's a bad word, or workup or emotion. But Lord, it's life. We're not here to tell you how to live that life. We're not here to tell you what qualifies as your life or what you can do and what you can't do. We're here just to surrender to that life. We know that the church was born by the breath of God. It's your life in the church. And that's you vindicating your word. And it's also you doing the very thing that you've purposed in your heart was to have preeminence in a church, in a body. The only way to do that, Lord, is for us to surrender. You're a gentleman. You'll not force yourself on anyone. But you come, you knock on the door, we open the latch from the inside, and we invite you to come in. And we say, Lord, just have free reign. Have your way. I pray that you move upon each and every heart. Father, I just continue to pray for our young people. Lord, there are souls that are hungering and thirsting, and we're told, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You're told that if we being evil know how to good gifts unto our children, us being fathers, if our child would ask for bread, would we give him a stone, or ask for something else, would we give him a serpent? How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to those that ask? So, Father, we're just in agreement. We're in one mind on this, Lord, one accord. No doubts. There's none of us are thinking, oh, we don't want that in the church, or how disgraceful. Lord, we just want you to have your way. And we just want you to move. We trust you. And we know that your ways are the best ways. You've never disappointed. You've never embarrassed. Your life has never embarrassed me. And your life never will. If we're embarrassed of you, you'll be embarrassed of us. If we won't confess you, you won't confess us before the Father. But Lord, I trust that those that are under the sound of our voice, those that you've placed into this ministry that we're speaking to, Lord, I know that there's a hunger and a thirst, and I know that your word promises that they shall be filled. So we're just going to encourage and believe and stand with them. Now, Lord, I also know that there are some that could use a refilling, and I know that there are some that maybe thought that they had more than what they had, but there's still a hunger and a thirst. Lord, if we're taught wrong, we won't have the right expectations, but the right teaching upon your word, it'll produce what it is that you've sent it to do. And so, Lord, I pray for those that are maybe been in this for a while, for a filling of your spirit. And I'm in expectation, Lord, that that'll take place as well. And we just want you to have your way amongst us, Lord. We want you to have the preeminence. We want you to have the honor and glory. We want others to come to know what a good Father that you are. What a good God. Just how in love that we are of you. And just all of your marvelous attributes. And the reason why we know it is because we're surrendered to you and your life's living in us and through us. And we're in a daily walk with you. And so, Lord, we want others to know you in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost and resurrection. Not in word only, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Bless each and every one, Lord, as we commit them, each one into your hands. And Lord, we know that there'll be more opportunities to wait. Not that nothing couldn't happen tonight, because it could happen at any time. And not necessarily in this building, though we strive to create an atmosphere for healing, deliverance, salvation, whatever it might be, baptism of the Holy Ghost. But Lord, we're willing to pay a greater price to, so that others, whether you've, I'll just say in my own, I won't speak for others tonight, Lord, but for my own case, if you never do another thing for me, I'll still count it a joy, Lord, if I can witness what you're doing in other people's lives, doing the very same things for them that you've done for me, Lord, that my joy would be filled. But I'm confident, Lord, that the work that you've started, you're going to finish. So I know that there's more for me as well. I know that there's a greater dynamics that's going to hit the church, and we're in expectation of it. We're not putting it off in the future. We say, let us take it at once. Now, if it at once turns out to be tomorrow, if it turns out to be next week, next month, I won't be a bit sorry for being an expectation every step of the way. Bless each and every one, Lord. Encourage each and every one. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've kind of lost track. I think I've heard some mentioned that they've given their hearts to the Lord and they want to be baptized in Christian baptism, and maybe we haven't. Maybe that hasn't happened yet. If there's anyone here tonight that hasn't been baptized yet and you want to be baptized in Christian baptism, could you just lift your hand so we know who you are and we can make arrangements? Okay. God bless you, sis. Amen. We will certainly see that happens very quickly. Father, we love you. We thank you that you're still saving, you're still delivering, you're still calling as many as our Lord God shall call. You're still drawing all men unto you. You're still filling with the Holy Ghost and fire. You're still vindicating yourself as you were with Moses. So are you with us, Lord. As you were with our prophet, so are you with us. Lord, we don't have the same ministry gift. We don't have the same purpose. We don't have the same ministry, but we serve the same God. And you're just as real to us tonight, Lord, to each and every member of the body, because by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. So it's not just special, Lord, for some of us to know you and for others to know about you, but each one of us needs to know you. And we're thankful, Lord, that you don't go after the big eyes and stay away from the little U's, but there is no big eyes and little U's. We're all the same in you. And we're thankful for that, Lord. So may each one be encouraged. And Lord, may any wall of false teaching be broken down, Lord, as your word confirms that it is your word, as your life confirms your word. By performing these things in the church. Grant it, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Beautiful Savior, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your Your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by.